Ben and Skin take a spin through Nellyville on the Mavs post-game show, live from the Jack Daniels Old No. 7 Club, inside the AAC, after every Mavs home game. Brought to you by Van Chevrolet, Silver Fox Steakhouse, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is The Hard Line here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are out in crazy Fort Worth today. Out here at Axis, which is on South Main at Vickery. It's a great place. If you'd like to drop by and join us, we got a couple hours left in the presentation here. And then later on tonight, even bigger doings, because the first round of the Ticket's Big Battle of the Bands is going to be out here tonight. And your congenital hosts for that will be the Cobra and Dan Paul. Not only will they be hosting it, they will be judging it as well.
Right. So anybody has any problems with it about anything,
right,
see them. Like if you come up here and you need a T-shirt, hey, they control the T-shirts up here.
Yeah, if you've heard something on the presentation in the last week or so that's rubbed you the wrong way, talk to them about it.
Yeah. You need a guy's guide?
Ask them.
Yeah. They handle everything. They're basically the Ticket representatives tonight.
Leave us alone.
What do you mean, leave you alone?
Come on.
Well, one band that will not be performing out here tonight, but we're quite sure that if they were, they would pretty much win this thing hands down and get to open for the Time Wasters at Ticket Stock, is the well-known pop rock ensemble, the Polyphonic Spree.
There you go.
Ah, yes.
There's your blizzard.
And we are very pleased to have them in the studio with us today.
Well, They're sound checking right now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're about done.
Okay, well, screw me then.
What we want to do is, first off, plug their Christmas show. The reason they're up here is they have a gigantic Christmas show coming up on December the 18th at Nokia,
mm-hmm.
Our favorite place in the Metroplex, Nokia Live out in Grand Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their big annual Christmas show. They've been doing this for about 5 years now. But it used to be at the Lakewood Theater. And they've kind of outgrown the Lakewood Theater. So they decided to move it over to Nokia. And
they've been around for 5 years now?
Yeah.
Wow. That's one of my questions to them. How long have they been together?
Yeah, they've been around for a while. I mean, just kind of building some momentum here over the last couple of years. And this past year, they really exploded. And you guys need to... One of the reasons that they got as big as they were is because of David Bowie. You got to tell... I don't really know the full extent of it. I know David Bowie kind of shepherded them along over in the UK and is a huge, huge fan of theirs. And he's the one who got the ball rolling more than anybody. So before we talk to Tim and his wife, Julie, the two ringleaders of the band, let's listen to something that everybody has heard before. They did a cover, before you hear something maybe you haven't heard before. This is a cover of John Lennon's War Is Over, the Happy Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
So, Grego, this is just a little sampling of what they sound like.
So, this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And a new one just begun.
So, pretty good cover.
That sounds nice.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Very cool. So now, sauntering in the studio are the owners of that particular version of the John Lennon classic.
The owners?
Is Tim DeLauder and his wife, Julie.
Woo!
All right. Greetings. How you guys doing?
Great. We didn't expect all these people here today.
Well, I apologize for that. I think I'm responsible personally for a good part of it.
Yeah, his daughter showed up with a whole... cavalcade of people from her high school.
Yeah, with about half of her junior class, I'm afraid.
Right.
I hope she doesn't beat you down too bad.
No, it'll be fun.
Well, we're very honored to have you guys with us. Let me ask you something, though. I'm a little bit familiar with your background. I know you were in Tripping Daisy and all that. Was it...
Reiner F. Tripping Daisy F. the Polyphonic Spree. Sugar corn!
I don't think I ever said that. The whole time you were in Tripping Daisy, was this music that you're doing here, this rather idiosyncratic muse clicking around in the back of your brain pan, or did it come to you as a flash one night, or how did it all come about?
You know, it started, it kind of started in Tripping Daisy. Went just out of, like, simple going to record records and wishing that, wow, I wish we had this instrument here and wishing we had this instrument there. And that's kind of like where it all started. And I thought, you know, one day I'll put together a band that is kind of symphonic and rock and try to create the sound that kind of has a hybrid of both of them. And that's really all where it all began. But I thought, you know, seriously, I thought it'd be something I'd do in my 50s, and I'd be like Percy Faith floating around pulling like something like
that. Or like me, right?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But that's where it happened.
You got a lot of moving parts in this thing, man.
Yeah.
This must be just a hellacious undertaking.
Yeah, it is. But I have my wife here right beside me, and she helps us keep it on track.
Now, what does she do exactly in the thing?
She's kind of... She does everything. It's basically, I couldn't do this without her, but she multitasks and she manages bands. She also helps me on songs and the sound and everything. She's a vital part of it.
Is she in the band? Does she sing?
Yeah, she sings. She's right here, too. Go ahead, Julie.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, Julie, when I saw you guys at the Granada a couple months ago, whenever that was, and I got there early for the opening band, and I was standing right next to the soundboard up in the balcony. And I knew the guy running sound for the opening band, and he was like, man, you should have seen them when they were sound checking, talking about you guys. And he said it was just amazing watching, first off, the guy work the soundboard, and second off, watching Julie kind of run the whole show down there. Like, you were the boss down there as far as getting everything right as far as the sound goes.
The boss.
Is that true? Are you the boss?
She's
That's
the boss.
Funny. I help out quite a bit. We have a great team, though. Everything about this band comes back to having a great team of people. But, you know, it's a large group and a great democracy with strong leadership qualities. Tim said that once.
She's being modest.
Yeah, no, really. Come on, Tim.
Well, you guys, you really have taken off here in the last, you know, 18 months or so. I mean, nationally and internationally. And I know that part of it started off, I've heard the David Bowie story before, but kind of refresh us on all that. How did he get involved in the band?
Well, we played the South by Southwest Music Conference down in Austin that happens every year. And we basically, was that our first year to play? It was our first year.
Yeah, the year before they didn't accept us.
What year are you talking about? Like 2000?
2000, right? Or 2001. Because we started in 2000 and it already passed.
Yeah, it was 2001.
Yeah. So it's 2001, and we applied to go there the year before, but they didn't accept us. We sent our record, the same record, Beginning Stages, there, and it just didn't happen. But we had kind of gotten out and played a little bit. And so they asked us the second time, which was 2001. And we went down there and we played as much as possible. I mean, we were playing everywhere.
Yeah.
We played like 6 or 7 times and wherever we could play. I think we played in someone's front yard at a barbecue. And someone from David Bowie's camp saw the group and they took back a record and I guess their enthusiasm. And 3 weeks later, we got a call that he loved the record and he would like to have the band come to London and play his Meltdown show that he was curating that year at the Royal Festival Hall. And so we went there. And that was the first time we left Texas, was to go to London as a group. So,
wow.
What did David Bowie think when he found out you guys had like 75 members?
He took us on the road.
Yeah, he took us on the road. I think he's so crazy. He's such a, you know, such an artist and so out there. And he still contributes today. I mean, We did a tour with him, his North American tour, and the guy would just blow you away night after night, and you could see why. I mean, he's, you know, who he is David Bowie. But You know, he loves the fact that there's this many people in the band. Go figure. It's right up his alley.
What was it like when you get that call? I mean, did you get a...
We didn't really believe it, and we really kind of freaked out at first because I was having a really difficult time just getting shows around town. And even Austin, it was difficult up until South by South because a lot of people couldn't get their head around that we had this many people, and they just thought... It's a logistical nightmare. We don't want to hassle with it. And that was the whole reason we made a record in the first place was to, you know, try to get shows because I was having a hard time getting shows.
I guess you probably had a tough time just getting people to buy into just the concept of what you guys do and you know, some of the odd instrumentation you had, just exactly what it was going to sound like, let alone the logistics.
You know, it's like once they saw it, and once anytime anybody's ever really dealt with a band in any kind of, working relationship as far as us showing up to play an event or a room that's too small or being able to play this or that, once they see it and kind of experience it, then it's like it's over and they've kind of like, they're on. And then they're like really eager to help out and what can they do to kind of help facilitate it and... It's like once they see it, they believe it. So.
How'd you get the name Polyphonic Spree?
Well, I was trying to find a name that would describe the sound, and I was in my bedroom, and I noticed on one of these doors around here that there was a Wacky Pack sticker on there, and I am a collector of Wacky Packs from early 70s, and they're those stickers that made fun of consumer products. Instead of Tide detergent, they were called Toad detergent.
Yeah, I remember
and,
those.
I used to spend all my lunch money on those stickers. Anyway, I was in my room, and I'd just gotten an uncut sheet of those, and I just got it framed, and it was just sitting in the bedroom, and Julie was in there on the computer, and I was, like, really trying to rack my brain, but I hadn't come up with any name yet. And I just kind of glanced down at this framed picture of Wacky Packs, and... I just saw this one sticker that said Poly, and it was for Polydent denture cream, and it had a parrot on there for Polly Wants a Cracker. And I just saw Poly, the word Poly, and I just said the Polyphonic Spree. I mean, just really just came out like that. And then I said it again to myself, and then I go, oh, my gosh, I like this. And Julie goes, what'd you say? I said, the Polyphonic Spree, that's it. She was quiet. She goes, oh, my gosh, I like it. And I was running around the house going, oh! I found it, man. It felt like it was it. There was no other name for the sound or the group. And she immediately got online, and we bought the domain name immediately. So that was it.
Like eight months before
anything happened.
There was
really?
A band.
Yeah,
before there even was a band or songs or anything.
Well, when did you guys realize, after you got everything going and you got all the moving parts in order, not that it's probably ever in really order, but... When did you know that, oh my, this thing could take off? This thing could be big. I mean, was there a certain show?
You know, I guess there was a moment when, because we really, the only audience we'd really had played in front of was our Dallas audience. Mm-hmm. And we'd only played like maybe three or four shows. And then the people in Austin, which was just kind of a really mixture of people from all over the world, all over the country that go to those things. And we were really well received, but we still couldn't get a gauge on what people thought of us as a whole because we weren't terribly popular at the time.
Yeah.
We were pretty much unknown band. And when we went to London and played, that's when we thought, you know, we're going to find out if this is going to work or not. And we went over there and we're literally playing this show, which was, you know, we're in this big, beautiful old theater called the Royal Festival Hall, and it's just... an amazing place, and everyone from the Beatles to Aretha Franklin have played this room, and it's over the top, and we're up there, and we're playing our show, and right in the middle of it, the power goes off right at the end of a song. We had finished the song, and the power goes off on stage, lights, nothing, and so we're just standing there, and at this point, I hadn't really gotten a gauge on a read from the audience. They're kind of just looking at us with their arms closed, just trying to figure it out, you know.
Very proper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really didn't really know what was going on, and I was just, oh my God, it's the worst thing could have happened, and I'm standing there, and I'm just, it was one of the roughest times I've ever had of being on stage. I just felt really vulnerable, and I didn't really have anything to say. I was just silent because I was just mortified in the first place that happened. But then I decided to go into one of our songs, which is on Together We're Heavy, called Diamonds. And I went into it a cappella on my own, and then I encouraged everyone that had, you know, acoustical instruments to join in, horns and, you know, other things, and the drums. And they joined in, and we were playing that song. And then all of a sudden, right at the crescendo of that song where it really kicks in, you know, the power came on, and we all just, like, nailed it, and we just kept going, and the place erupted. I mean, they jumped up, started screaming and hollering. We knew we had won, you know, and the next day it was all over the press that, you know, we were the greatest thing since sliced bread over there.
And they thought we had planned it.
Yeah,
they said, that was just incredible, you know, the silence and the a cappella, because it was like we were taking advantage of the acoustics of the room. It was really designed for all the symphonic instruments in our band.
So now, I've never seen the band yet. My young daughter, who was up there, has, and she's told me quite a bit about it. But here's the thing, as one who has never seen it, that I'm very curious about. Tell me about the robes thing. How did that come about?
Well, the robes, you know, the whole reason I wanted the robes in the first place, and it turned around to be exactly, it'll prove my point, but was to dispel the distraction of street clothes. I just thought with that many people, I knew there was going to be a lot of people in the group, and if we all wore regular clothes that, in rock, and when people were, they're just as interested in fashion as what they are, as what's coming out of the PA, and I thought, well, once they've tried to sum us up as this group of what we're wearing, then they would have missed our what our sound's all about. So I thought, oh, we have to unify this group and just totally make it where it's just, they're just thinking about the music.
But don't you sometimes run into more emphasis on the robes than what you're doing?
Well, that was my point, proving my point once again, that they're just as interested. And I turn around and created a monster, basically, out of trying to diffuse a situation. And yeah, they are, the robes have caused a tremendous amount of, you know, feedback in a lot of different areas of, you know, basically trying to sum the group up. But the bottom line, I, you know, it may be subconsciously something else. I may be on a spiritual path in front of, you know, playing this out in front of a lot of people unbeknownst to me. But it was really just to kind of like unify the group. And it's so simple, you know, it covers you from head to toe. I told my mother-in-law, she sewed, you know, the prototype of the robe, and it's simple. It's one size fits all. It's small, medium, or large, and I don't have to worry about the imperfections of people's bodies, and it was it, you know, and that's basically what it was. And, yeah, it turned out to be so much more.
What's been the coolest gig you've played so far?
That's a good question, because we've had a lot of really awesome opportunities. Julie?
While you guys think about that, I was asking Tim, I saw on their website that they're going out of town. They're going to Norway here pretty soon in the next week or so. I was like, so what are you going there for? He goes, oh, we're going there to play the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right.
I was like, what? How cool is that?
I know. It totally came out. It's one of these things, we've had so many wonderful
blessings.
Yeah, that have come our way. And, you know, it's crazy because and back to you guys. You guys have been so supportive to us. A lot of opportunity through other areas, and television has been really cool to us, and have been basically embraced the band. And that's kind of been our radio outside of you guys. And the people that are producing the Nobel Peace Prize Awards in Oslo saw the MTV VMA Awards, and they phoned us up and they wanted us to play the awards, which is a complete huge honor.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
All right, some tunage on the way next?
Yeah,
let's
get a plug in for the show, for the Christmas show real quick.
Yes, let's do that. The Christmas show is, guys, this is for everybody. This is for your fam, for your kids. We have three kids ourselves that are, you know, 5, 4, and 3. This is for adults, this is for kids, but it's a huge night of people kind of coming together. This is our 5th annual event. We did it at the Lakewood 4 years in a row. We just basically outgrew that place, and now we're doing it in Nokia. And it's truly a festive night where it's a very eclectic evening with the Polyphonic Spree. We do like a this is our first year to do a kind of a one-act play between, it's a cross between A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, but it's the Polyphonic Spree. Mm-hmm. And you're going to play something in a minute that'll kind of reflect a little bit of that show. We have the tap dancing grandmas over 70. They're going to be out there doing their thing. And then we're doing a full-on rock show ourselves. And we have all the characters from Christmas are going to be there walking around. And we've got Cornmo, who's going to be emceeing the event, who's completely off his rocker. And there'll be the Crazy Monkey and...
We're actually going to do going to do a polyphonic Christmas set early on, though.
Yeah,
and we'll come back later with a full-on rock set.
It's a white elephant raffle that we do. This is the third year that we've done that, but it's an extremely festive evening, and you can have plenty of spirits and totally it's fun for
and
everybody.
And there's a nice tie-in as far as benefit goes, right?
Yeah, the Toys for Tots. I bring a toy for the Toys for Tots, who will be at the front door, and. What was that?
Oh, he's telling us we need to break, so you guys can go play.
Okay,
so December 18th is the big show at Nokia.
Yeah, please come on out. It's
all ages.
It's all ages, and it's going to be a blast.
All right, more with the Polyphonic Spree next year on The Ticket.
Playing all your favorite songs, 30 seconds at a time. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
That's a good song. It is 5:41. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And you are listening to The Hardline. We are out here today in crazy Fort Worth at Axis. Would like to remind everybody that Kevin Scott will be at GameWorks this Monday. He'll be there for a Cowboys-Seahawks watching party. The game starts at 8. He will be there from 8 until 10. That's in Grapevine Mills Mall. He'll have a couple of very foxy ticket chicks on hand for you to look at. And register to win ticket t-shirts and Cowboys training camp shirts as well. Now we're visiting with the Polyphonic Spree. They are back up at the mothership. And I believe they are ready for a little bit of tunage.
Yeah.
So with more on that, here is Cobra.
All right, the whole band is assembled in here in the live studio. It reeks of humans in here. The new album, by the way, is called Together We're Heavy, and you guys are going to play a couple of songs here back to back. Hold Me Now in 2,000 Places. So without any further ado, here they are, Dallas's own The Polyphonic Spree.
gotta be 2,000 places I'd want. And I know there's a lot outside the window. It seems a lot for you and me. Take the signs and make the sidewalk. It takes the moon to burn my feet.
That was genius.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Man, let me tell you something, dude. You come along about 35 years too late. As one who grew up in the 60s, you'd have fit right in.
You have no idea how good that sounds on the air.
I wish we were there.
What an amazing mix. That sounds perfect.
You guys were all over it, man. We walked in here today. They had everything outlined with the instruments numbered and labeled out on the floor. We just walked in and set up.
That's because we have the greatest engineer in the world.
He's totally on it.
You guys, thank you so much.
Thank you very
Seriously,
much.
Seriously, it's been great.
It's very much an honor to have you up here, and we really enjoyed it, guys.
God, we'll come back anytime, guys. Thanks very much for supporting our group. Like I said, you guys have been with us more, though, than any other music station. Right. So thanks a lot.
And once again, let's plug that gig again.
Plug the gig, yes. It's December 18th at Nokia Live. It's the fifth annual holiday extravaganza from the Polyphonic Spree. It's for a family. Bring your kids. Bring your brothers, your sisters, your lovers, your friends, your enemies. It doesn't matter. Bring them all. We'll host them well.
And you guys will have the robes on, right?
Yes, sir. And we sell the robes, too. You guys can buy your own robes and give them to your friends for Christmas gifts.
Hey, I might like one. Make it green for me, okay?
I'll do it.
All right. Very good. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, y'all.
The Polyphonic Spree joining us here on the Hardline today. Good. Outstanding.
Man, that sounded great.
All right, coming up next, it's probably a little early for most of us to be thinking about this, but it's not too early for some of the folks up in New York to think about it. What might the Cowboys do in the offseason? That next here on The Ticket.